Heavenly Father, as I offer these words this morning, I beseech you to see before you a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, and a sinner of your own redeeming. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. This is as the second Sunday of Easter. We proceed over the next few weeks reminding ourselves of the resurrection stories that we find in the Gospels. And today, oftentimes called by preachers Thomas Sunday or Doubting Thomas Sunday, in which we have that beautiful story of Thomas wanting to see the wounds and touch the wounds of Christ. It's really touched this week by a poem, a sonnet by Malcolm Guite, who offers some reflection on this passage of Scripture. He writes, "We do not know, how can we know the way? Courageous master of the awkward question. You spoke the words others dare not say and cut through the evasion and the abstraction. Oh, doubting Thomas, father of my faith, you put your finger on the nub of things. We cannot love some disembodied wraith, but flesh and blood must be our King of Kings. Your teaching is to touch, embrace, anoint, feel after him and find him in the flesh, because he loved your awkward counterpoint. The word has heard and granted your wish. Oh, place my hands with yours. Help me divine the wounded God whose wounds are healing mine." Reflecting upon this curious act of apostleship, I thought how things have changed. Here is in Thomas and this passage a truly disturbing apostleship, one that is curious, one that is willing to ask questions, to be willing to see Christ's wounds, to stand and touch the flesh of the dead being resurrected. Thomas, though, after all, does what Jesus did. Jesus was curious about others, willing to go out and be, as he says, "I have been sent, so I send you," to go and be and to ask questions, to converse and to listen, willing to touch the wounds of others, to touch the dead and even make them rise. Apostleship like Thomas's is too easily reframed, I think, to be about faith and belief, about not seeing and knowing. We Episcopalians love the doubting part, most of all. The institution has allowed such curiosity to be about theology and reason, and less about the part of the passage which seems so evident, the being sent, the going out, to be curious. Lay theologian William Stringfellow warns that institutions shape leaders more often than leaders shape institutions. In an institutional church, authentic apostleship, such as Thomas's, is an impulse, that impulse to go out and to be curious, to touch the walking dead and their wounds. These are the first casualties of the institution. When we say we need more apostles like Thomas, we are not saying that we need more doubters and thinkers. We have plenty of those. Instead, I am thinking what we mean is that we are in need of people willing to walk out into the world and to be curious about the wounds that are present in and amongst the people of our communities, to stand in solidarity, to do work of reconciliation, to be apostles who live with others and attempt to work together to create a community where people have enough to eat, where people don't die alone, where people are safe, where wounds and that are real are felt and shared by others. I think too often as church in general, we aren't curious enough and we discount the woundedness of others, unwilling to touch or see, unwilling even to hear their woundedness, how they are suffering or dying or even how they might be being resurrected even in this moment. We talk so sure of ourselves, defending ourselves and our own belief or lack of belief. Thomas, though, was different. Along with the others, he was curious enough to discover that people in their midst were hungry and needed food, and they found a way to set a table out in the city for them where they could eat. The economic system, we are told in Acts, overturns the economic system of their day. They rejected the order that they had received. They created a new economy, a new community where all had what was needed, where the rich and the poor lived together and worked together for the betterment of those who were the least and the lost, the orphans and the widows. Jesus is the way, he answers Thomas when he asks. Jesus is the life, he answers Thomas when he asks. Did the disciples understand this resurrection moment as we have it in our passage as a sure and certain hope that upon their own death they too would be resurrected? Yes, of course they did. Did they experience more fully Jesus in this resurrection moment? By all means they did, but they also knew that this story, this narrative in which they were playing a role, was about living life together in the world. It was about taking up the cross of Jesus, the discomfort and the disquiet of Jesus' cross, and walking the same way as He did. This passage that we have today is a passage in which they proclaim that not only is this the way, but that He is Lord, that Jesus is Lord. Words that we will echo in our own baptismal vows today. Now, we are tempted as good Episcopalians to say, I don't like that word, Lord, or to doubt it is suitable for Christians to use. But Jesus is Lord by His woundedness. That is what makes Him so. He is Lord by the fact that He is willing to die for others. He is Lord because He is the one who serves others. He is Lord, but a Lord who touches the unclean. He is Lord because He eats with sinners, because He heals the sick. He is Lord because He raises the dead. He is Lord because He creates a new community where all are welcome and all have a place to sit and have something to eat. Presiding Bishop Michael Curry reminded us at the House of Bishops that the truth is that we all have lords, and that this is a radical statement about who our Lord is as Christians. We have plenty of lords that we give power to. The question is, for you and for me, what kind of Lord are we worshiping and following? The apostles believed in a different Lord than those who were part of the religious and political power structures of their day, a Lord that unified rather than divided, a Lord that fed and clothed and gave of Himself as a living sacrifice. This is the Lord that Thomas believed in, was curious about, and wanted to see and would eventually proclaim. When this is the Lord that we put our trust in, when this is the Lord whose service we take on, when this is the Lord whose way we make our own, then we will truly be a disturbing apostle like Thomas. doing what Jesus did to disturb the world by being curious about others, especially their woundedness, by being willing to touch them and to see with our own eyes where the powers of the world have taken their pound of flesh and made their mark, by being willing to be a part of their healing and their resurrection. Oh, that this disturbing apostleship following this Lord would be the Father of our faith, that we might love others not as an idea, but as people whose names we know and whose wounds we have touched, and to see at the end that by doing this, by following this way, and by sacrificially giving of ourselves, to see that we too are being healed in this curiosity and touching, that we too are finding faith, that we too are being resurrected. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.